Well, good evening. It's great to see everybody here today. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to take that out and be ready to turn to some passages together as we study from God's Word. We're going to be looking at some things that are really foundational to God's Word, that we will have verses that substantiate some of these things, but there's going to be some things that we are looking at that aren't necessarily just directly in the Bible, but are behind the Bible and that show from nature the essence of God. But we are coming into a culture that's not so far different from others, just the way that things are said are a little bit different, that says that God doesn't exist and that it doesn't make sense to believe in God. In fact, there are some, like Richard Dawkins, who have said the virgin birth, the resurrection, the raising of Lazarus, even the Old Testament miracles, all are freely used for religious propaganda, and they are very effective with an audience of unsophisticates and children. Now, I looked up that word unsophisticates in the dictionary, and it's actually more of a word that he made up, but we get the idea, don't we? He's saying that basically, if you're not intelligent enough to not believe in God, then that's where the Bible is going to get you. That if you can be duped into these miracle stories, into the possibility of supernatural, that there is a God who is working in this world, then you are not smart enough to see what's really going on around us. And while down here in the South we may not have to face some of these things as much as in other parts of the country, I suggest that whenever we send our children away to a secular university, they're going to hear these things. In fact, my educational background goes back to the University of Missouri in Rolla is where I got my degree, my bachelor's degree. Before I decided to preach, I was going to be a doctor. So I got my degree in biological sciences with pre-med emphasis. Needless to say, I took a lot of chemistry and a lot of biology classes. And when I decided about my junior, senior year of college that I needed to preach, I decided I was going to take some classes that weren't necessarily required, but that would help me as I was continuing and going to start preaching. And so I took evolutionary analysis, I took some psychology classes, some comparative anatomy classes, and I will tell you that though I didn't have the horror stories that you sometimes hear about where professors are just giving F's to students who claim to believe in God, I believe that every teacher that I had in the biological sciences department did not believe in God, at least the God of the Bible, and believed that through chance, natural selection, and evolution, things just came to be, and that we don't really have to know how it all began, but there obviously cannot be a creator, was basically the presupposition that went into the education that I received. And so this happens all the time. And if we get to watching the television and we watch the Discovery Channel, Science Channel, PBS, there are going to be people who are saying it does not make sense to believe in God. And I want to suggest this evening that there are some very good reasons for believing in God. Obviously, the greatest reason is going to be the existence of the Bible and the story that it tells us. But we're not going to go from a circular point of view or reasoning where we're going to try to prove the Bible necessarily from the Bible. We're going to look around us and then we're going to look at the Bible and see there are good reasons for believing in God. Now, I will put a caveat out there from the very beginning. There are some things about faith that don't make sense from a worldly perspective. It doesn't make sense from a military standpoint to march around a city for 7 days and it to fall down. It doesn't necessarily make sense from a modern perspective to say, why in the world could the Jews not boil a goat in its mother's milk? Now, we might be able to see some theological principles that go along with that, but we don't know why God chose to do that. Why does God use water in our salvation? This is what God has chosen. It doesn't always make sense to us. But what we're going to be discussing this evening is that the foundational elements of faith, that there is a God, that Jesus is His Son, that the Bible is His Word, is not irrational. It is not illogical. And it does not make us ignorant to believe that the Bible is true and that God exists. Now, before we get to some of those reasons why I believe that it makes sense to believe in God, we're going to work very quickly through some of the presuppositions that many in the world today are accepting. And so if you'll follow along with me, first I'd like us to look at the definition of science. Because men like Robert Ingersoll, who was known as the great agnostic of the 19th century, he said, "Our ignorance is God, what we know is science." And so what faith is pitted against knowledge, and that the only way to gain true knowledge is through science. So what is science? Well, science is the systematic knowledge of the physical or material world gained through observation or experimentation. Now, that's the dictionary definition of science. What we find is that truth is going to come from other places than science, and yet this is kind of glorified, it's idolized, that the only way to really get to truth is to go through the scientific method and through scientific inquiry. But I hope we see some limitations here. And as we're working through some of these presuppositions of why people do not believe in God, note that if you're going to say that science is the only way to true knowledge, then looking at that definition, number one, you're going to be limited to what you can see, feel, taste, smell. Because it is through observation and experimentation. I want to suggest that there are some truths outside of what we can see, taste, feel, smell, and see. It's also going to be limited to what can be reproduced. Because if it's going to be experimentation, you're going to come up with a hypothesis. How many of us parents have had to start going through some of those science fair projects with our kids? And we have to think through, well, what do they want? What's the scientific process? And you have to come up with a hypothesis. You say, I think this. Now let me experiment with that and see if it's testable. See if it's true. And then, even then, it's not said this is a law yet. You have to test it again and again and again